I want to welcome you to Young Adults Today podcast, where we talk about reaching young adults in our world today. I'm going to toss it over to our hosts, Micah and Josiah Keneally.
All right. Well, what's up, guys? Hope you're feeling alive right now. I'm Micah Keneally.
And I'm Josiah Keneally. We're your hosts of the Young Adults Today podcast, where we talk about reaching the next generation in our world today.
That's right.
And we are fired up to have a conversation about church planting.
That's right.
With Jeffrey Portman. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you. Excited to jump on with you guys.
Yes. And if you're the listener for the very first time and you want to jump on and into this conversation as well, you can do us a favor and our listeners a favor by rating, subscribing, reviewing. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know what you want to hear about. Just tell us what God's doing in your life. And we would just love to see just your life flourish and just hear testimonies along the way. And we have a very special guest, like Josiah said, Jeffrey is joining us today. So who in the world is on the other side of this call? Not only his name, but what is he doing for the kingdom of God?
Really incredible things. And Pastor Jeffrey Portman is the National Church Planting Director for the Assemblies of God, leading what is called CMN, which is the Church Multiplication Network. And their vision is to have a healthy church in every single community. And it fires me up.
Yeah,
I remember two things. Jeffrey, real quick, to launch this. First is, as a college student, North Central University really believes in church planting. Micah and I do. And I remember Clarence St. John, one of our heroes, and Roger Stacy visited
both legends.
Right? Mm-hmm. And they said, look, the fastest way to do evangelism or to reach lost people is through church planting. And I bet that was 9 years ago when I heard that, and it's always stuck with me. I grew up in a church that believed in church planting from the very beginning of that church starting. They began planting other churches. And so I just thought we could talk about church planting today, talk about the local church. But before we do you want to just maybe share some of your life story and leadership experience with us?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm just fired up about what you guys are doing. And again, your voice to this generation and also this topic of church planting. I mean, honestly, this didn't originate with the Assemblies of God. This is the heart of God. And it's Jesus is not our last hope. He's our only hope. And so in order for people to encounter Christ, they've got to have in relationship with people who are on mission with Jesus. And the local church was God's plan to just bring the gospel, the good news. And so married 29 years to my best friend, Joanne. We have two sons, Justice and Josiah. They're both married. So we have two daughter-in-laws, which we just, we prayed for them before they were born. Right. But super excited about that. All of our kids are on mission with Jesus, which is the greatest joy of our lives. Like, you know, we were youth pastors for 20 years and in youth ministry for a long time. And people are like, well, you know, what do you care most about? I'm like, probably our kids loving Jesus, right? I know you have two daughters. I mean, it's not that everyone else doesn't matter, but to us, my wife and I, we just said, God, we don't care what our kids do, but we want to love Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so we, from the Northwest, my wife is from Hawaii. So I'm Norwegian. My wife is Samoan by ethnicity. And until about 2 years ago, all of our life and ministry together was in Washington. She's born in Hawaii, moved to Washington, fortunately for me, because then her dad was stationed there and we ran into each other to barbecue, long story short. But and so we both went to Northwest University. We graduated with our undergrad there and just knew the local church is where it's at. Like even in the role I'm in now, which is incredible privilege, we're engaged in the life of a local church. You know, the thing is, I don't bring my neighbors to my office. I bring them to church. So it's not about what God's doing necessarily at our office here for CMN, but through the local church, right? Mm-hmm. So youth pastors for a long time, DYDs, network district youth directors for 10 years, church planning directors. And what's interesting is if you would have asked us maybe 10, 12 years ago, hey, what will you do for like, you know, the next chapter, I would have said, we would have both said, probably take an existing church and then infuse multiplication DNA into it. Mm. And we need that. We need, there's a wave. There's going to literally be like a third of our churches are going to need additional or new voices as pastors retire and, and age out. So I'm all for that. And I know Pastor Nate Roush has talked on succession and written on it. And he's a dear friend. But I will say this, that God didn't ask us to do that. He said, door A is to take an existing church. Door B is to plant a church. And we chose door B after fasting and praying. We planted New Hope Church. And I know we'll do a section later on called Five and Five, but that was actually our vision, to plant five churches in 5 years. Wow. And to God be glory, we got to see that happen around the Puget Sound. And then all of our churches were connected in some way to CMN, got training. So what's interesting is we were the beneficiaries of CMN. No one had to convince us of the value of the training, resource, all that stuff. We already had experienced the blessing of that relationship. So when I got invited to step into this role, it was, first of all, very out of the blue for me. My thing is, I'm always trying to just be good at my current job. I'm never looking at what's next. I'm like, all right, Lord, I just want to be good at what you already have given me. And so now we have the privilege of helping pastors and leaders from across the nation, men and women, different generations, move forward in church planting. And I would add only one thing, Josiah, to the description of a healthy church in every community. When I got here, we added whether it's rural, urban, suburban, or anything between.
Yes.
So that kind of just a little snapshot right there of some of our journey.
That's so good. We can definitely resonate with what you just said. Like even like the multi-site church, like equipping young adult ministry leaders in those places and spaces is essential, as well as letting them to know the needs outside the walls of the church. Like some of you are going to stay, some of you are going to go, and some of you are going to be going, meaning that you're going to plant something outside of these walls, but the seeds are waiting to be like, they're ready. Like the fruit is coming. We just got to get in the trenches and start doing that. And I'd just be curious, Jeffrey, to just unpack and hear that you planted a church. What was that journey like for you and for your family during that time? And how, like, just unfold that for us a little bit.
Well, I don't know how long the podcast is, so I'm going to be brief with my answers, right? I do. No, I'm just kidding. But we went on an adventure. We would say this, that like, the bullseye for every person who's following Jesus is obedience. Yes. So whatever season, whatever situation. So for us, we had this clarity that God had called us to stop what we were doing. We'd been in the same city 20 years, same house 10, same job 16.
Wow.
And we knew God had called us to start fresh. And you don't lose those relationships. You add new ones, right?
Right.
So we went on an adventure. We moved to a city where we knew nobody. I knew one mega church pastor and I told him, we have a volunteer role for you at our church. He said, no, I didn't was going to join the team, but we just began to connect in the community, build relationships. And as the scripture says, look for those people or that person of peace who already has a foothold in the community. Mm-hmm. The Lord really brought some incredible people into our lives like that. And so I would say this, we move, like if you're wondering what's the worst age to move your kids? I would say going into their junior or freshman year, because we did that, right? Wow. And yet what I would also say, I sort of say that kiddingly, it was very difficult, but I would also say this, that God helped them develop muscles they couldn't have otherwise. Mm. And up to that point, they had all consistency. Now, if God called us to stay there, we'd still be there, right? But I think sometimes as parents, whether that's, an older parent like me or a younger parent, we think, oh, I don't know if our kids can handle it. I'm telling you, when you follow God, your kids experience faith lived out. They develop faith muscles. They get some practice and they get to see miracles. And we, for sure, that's part of the story that God was writing and is writing and will continue to write through New Hope Church.
Love
it's
it.
Incredible. It's really faith building to us. And I know for the listener it is as well. And one thing that you were talking about with family, I would almost just define as grit. Angela Duckworth says like passion multiplied by perseverance, or I was reading James. So if we have a verse of the day, it'd be James 2, 3, and 4 from chapter 1, James 1, 2, 3, and 4. Yes. Where it just says, consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, wherever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And I journaled this morning, full transparency, how excitable of a person I am. And Micah can verify that, whether it's people or sports or just life itself. I'm very excitable. It doesn't take a lot for, I'm really simple, really excitable. But I think sometimes I might lack endurance.
Okay.
I remember being 18 years old. A buddy said, "You want to run a marathon?" And I graduated high school, and then the next weekend we ran a marathon, and I hadn't trained at all. And I discovered what endurance running was that day, 26.2 miles, and I finished, but it would have been better. I was excited. It would have been better with endurance. And I think of how your kids got to see these miracles, got to grow new muscles, and void of a struggle, there's really a lack of strength.
And so
I love what you were saying, and I'm inspired as a young dad, taking notes about that. And we want to raise gritty girls, people who love Jesus. Yeah. And I would just be curious your thoughts, maybe on vision for church planting.
Yeah.
What role would you say it plays in reaching lost people, planting a church, finding a new community, or launching something, kind of pioneering ground that's never been broken before?
So, I mean, I think church planting itself engages people that sometimes may have been on the bench before, and some of it is forced. Like, you just need people. But I think about Jesus, right? That's our model, okay? Obviously, right? As followers of Jesus, he's the one we look to. Mm-hmm. And I think the one guy in the history of the planet who could have done ministry alone didn't. He built a team. He engaged people. And who did he choose? Unschooled, ordinary people. Now, he had some Rhodes Scholars and Paul and other people, right? And he had wealthy and poor, but he engaged people. And I think what happens when you step out to plant a church, you're birthing something and you're desperate. And I would say this: dependence isn't weakness, it's wisdom, right? And so you're dependent on God. You're dependent on other people. You have to cast what we call the clear, compelling, and consistent vision, but it's about Jesus. And so the main thing is just so evident when you're launching hope into a broken community, right? And we'd say it this way, that the gospel's good news for broken people like me. Mm-hmm. And sometimes as pastors, like professional pastors, we'll say, you know, the gospel's good news. Now our face doesn't show it, like the gospel's good news for broken people like you. But when we look at it and go, man, I'm desperate for God's grace. And I'm a recipient, so I want to be a conduit. I want to be a carrier of it, but I also want to be a conduit of his grace. Mm-hmm. And so church planting, I mean, this is like empirical data. So people don't even have to agree. It's just fact. Church plants reach more people. And I think some of it is because there is an urgency. There's a newness. There's a heightened ownership. And I'm for the existing. I'm for what I would call like pioneers and settlers. I'm for both. We need both. In fact, we couldn't have pioneered without settlers, right? So it's not either or. But I think for all of us, it's easy to drift into have mission drift, or to drift away from some of the clarity that we used to have, and you get a little comfortable. And so church planting just is like the antithesis of comfort. Like, you're just stretched. You're more prayerful. And I think the question every leader should ask is, if I'm not planting a church, how should I help someone? Because, you know, I think of this metaphor, like when your parents found out they're going to be grandparents, they were fired up, right? They couldn't, I mean, come on, this is, and then their daughters are born, right? And what happens is you engage more people and people get to be a part of the celebration. And when you plant a church, you're having a baby. Right? It's messy. You're tired, but there's never been more joy.
Right.
I think people see it at a church plant that there is like hope for all of us, right? I can be messy and broke up and third marriage and addicted and abused or whatever. And yet there's this message of hope that's declared. Mm-hmm. And church plants, I think, because we don't have all of some of the other stuff, it's like, we're just going to give you the basics.
Right. And
basics are like what's most important anyways. So I get fired up and I could talk for hours on this. So I'm wise and judicious with the time. But
no, I think that's amazing. The image I keep getting, Jeffrey, is as you're like just answering this question and unpacking it for us and for the listener, is you said the pioneers and we need the settlers. We need the people who settle, the people who are going to be the pillars of this church for the next 20, 30, 40 years, hopefully, that we're successful as pioneers to cast a compelling vision that is going to outlast us, that it's a legacy that's going to have a kingdom impact. And the image I keep getting is kind of just like settling even in the U.S. Like our ancestors came over here. They they went on all those different boats. They signed up, they signed in, or they fled from wherever they were, willing to pioneer, start something new, get dirty, get gritty, and step into the land of the unknown and unfamiliar, whether it's a language barrier, whether it's an ethnicity thing, whether they were like cast out of the land of which they were coming from, but to willing to go in the mountains, go in the dead of winter, go up these like trails to all the way to the West Coast. I'm just like, Lewis and Clark had been out of their ever loving mind to do they did, but they pioneered things that they started something that everybody else, they caught the vision. There's more. Yeah. There's more. And I think church planting is for the non-believer or the believer who quote unquote might be getting bored, or they're not putting the full life that they could behind the relationship with Christ and actively living it out. Wow. I want to get on the back of that wagon, but I want to help push. I want to get back. I want to get back into the church and give back to the people who've poured into me. And if I can do that through a church plant or through, you know, serving on a team on a Sunday or become a pillar of this church, I just think that that just creates a buzz and an excitement that can last. You know what I mean? It's not going to die and fizzle out as long as you are faithfully stepping into a deeper relationship with Jesus. And if you can be a pioneer and a pastor who can constantly point them in that direction, because we are healthy as leaders or pastors, or we've gone through some unhealthy things to become more healthy. I would just be so curious for maybe the listener who's a young adult, maybe they're leading something, taking over something, or pioneering something brand new, whether that is maybe a ministry on a college campus. It's a form of a church. It's a Chi Alpha. It's whatever you want to say. It's FCA. And I would just be curious for the young adult leader who's like praying about church planting at large someday, or open up to the possibility of what God might have. How can they become a future ready leader today? And what can they do now to prepare to pioneer? Good.
I love it. Well, I love that language, future ready leader today. Like, I want to be that, right? I'm 51 and at 52, I want to be further along, right? So I love that language. So like, if like in a really practical way, if you're even slightly interested in planting a church, we want to walk with you. Mm-hmm. When I say we, I mean, not just CMN, our office, but the nation, right? There are, we've planted since 2008, 4,461 churches.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And we just say, to God be the glory. And I'll say this, with that said, no one in our office is going to have an injury patting themselves on the back.
Right.
Because we need more churches. We need more expressions. Jesus said it, you referenced it earlier, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So to that young adult that's saying, I'm open or interested, like I would just go to iwantoplantachurch.com. And that's literally what it is. iwantoplantachurch.com. And that will funnel you into connection, and you're not signing up and you're not signing away your future, but who knows what God might do to and through you, right? So a next best step, I believe, Micah, is that they would figure out, what does it look like to serve in a local church context? Yeah. And if your church is, you don't have to join a church plant to grow as a leader, mm-hmm. right? There's so many beautiful expressions in existing churches. But I would also, if you're saying, I want to plant a church, I believe the difference between mentoring and apprenticeship, and Jesus did both, right? But mentoring, I'm mentored by dead people, a vodcast, a video, a podcast, like what you guys are doing, a book, right? But apprenticeship, the difference between mentoring and apprenticeship is proximity.
Yes.
So if I want to learn how to be a church planter, I need to hang with church planters. If I'm going to be a brain surgeon, I'm not hanging out with the guy doing yo-yos. I want to be with the brain surgeon so that doctor can help me learn her skills to perform that surgery. Right. If you're getting a tattoo, you don't want someone who has an apprentice. So I think we've got to figure out, how can we put ourselves in learning environments from practitioners? and get best practice. And you get that apprenticeship by being up close, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
When Jesus called his disciples, he didn't say, hey guys, I want you to go do this. He says, I want you to come follow me.
Yep.
And then after they walked together and did life together, then he sent them out, right? So I would say, even for like a young adult, that's whether they're launching a whole ministry or they're leading a small group, they can ask the question, how can I find either a mentor or someone I can apprentice with that will help bring out the best in me? Mm-hmm. And what's so critical, man, let this mark our generations, God, but teachability, and that requires humility, where they're willing to say, I don't know everything. In fact, I don't know a lot sometimes about specific things, but I'm going to find someone who does, who can help me. And whether that is how to be a great parent, how to read my Bible, how to bake a pie. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is, right? There's someone who's farther along. And I think that humility and that teachability, that will give you access to some of the highest capacity people who can help your dream become a reality.
So good.
It's exciting. The idea of mentorship and apprenticeship is certainly a popular theme on this podcast and conversations, mm-hmm. intergenerational, mm-hmm. like yes. mentoring and discipleship, leadership. The apprenticeship model is certainly age old. It stood the test of time, mm-hmm. and it's right. part of God's design. And one of the things that we've observed, we've spent 4 years prior to this role in doing campus ministry with Chi Alpha.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
And one of the things that we would notice is students who would graduate from Chi Alpha, ours or others, would really thrive in church plant settings.
Yeah.
I noticed that. And we talked to a friend of ours who is a church planter in the area, and they just landed a new building.
Awesome.
Prior to that, they had been in a school for like a decade. Mm-hmm. And this is what he described to me, and I thought this was fascinating. He said that when they met in a school, new visitors assimilated, and the assumption was, oh, they need my help.
Correct.
And then now they have this beautiful new building. It's like state-of-the-art, food truck. It's like everything you could ever want. Mm-hmm. Okay. But the vibe is, oh, they have it all together. I'll yes. just sit and watch.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So this concept of the younger generation wanting kind of that, like that song that I grew up singing, like put me in, coach, I'm ready to play. I want a piece of the action.
Come on, bro. Yes. You have to figure out how to do that in existing churches.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of the things that a church plant solves. That's also what a multiplying church does, is you always send out your best people and they always need people. So this is why I think whether it's you're pioneering and starting something or you're a settler and by the way, being a settler doesn't mean you've settled.
Right.
That's really right. important. And we don't have time to go deep into that today, but that's critical.
Yes.
It's you're living life on purpose, for purpose, in that you got to put down roots. Right. But it's interesting. I think one of the challenges we have to figure out as pastors today is how do we engage young adults in something that's significant enough to give their life to? Mm-hmm. And yet we don't expect them to be 40 years old. They can be 18 or 22 or 25, and they have something enormous to offer their lives, mm-hmm. and their passion and their skills. And I want to create space for people. And I know that that is required for church plants to thrive. And I think it's a tension or something that existing churches are always asking, how do we create opportunities for people so that ownership's heightened?
Yeah, that's great. That's a question of the age.
And
how do we do that well?
Seriously, and I think that's our why, really, is we believe, Jeffrey, that the faith of the next generation is worth everything. And I'd just be curious your take on that, your response to that question that you just asked, like, how can we engage young adults who are the most cause-driven generation with the most cause oriented organization, which is the church. Like, why do you believe that discipling the next generation, investing in young adult ministry, discipleship of young adults, why are those things so important?
Yeah. Well, I think God's plan to perpetually relay truth requires us to always pass it on. Yeah. And I also think that there's a lot that every generation has to learn from the other generations. Mm-hmm. And a guy that mentored me in classes over the years, Earl Kreps, talks about reverse mentoring. And I think there's power in that partnership, right? So, but why would a, why should and why could someone disciple a young adult? Because they don't have next, they have right now. And for us to say, well, you need to wait until, you don't need to wait for anything. Joan of Arc was 14 when she went into battle. And it was quoted that she said one day she was talking with another rival general, same army, but rival general. And he says, what are you going to do when you go into battle and no one's behind you? And she says, I won't be looking behind me. I'm like, we need
mic drop.
What I'm saying, we need people like that. They're like, I'm all in, whatever it takes. And I don't, I think we under challenge young adults. Go, well, you're going to have a season where you just kind of figure stuff out. Why do they have to wander and drift? Mm-hmm. You can wrestle right where you're at. And I think if you don't wrestle with your faith, you outgrow it, mm-hmm. but you don't have to wrestle outside of the church. The best place to wrestle with it is in the church with people who are a little bit farther along, which is what, you know, the scriptures tell us to invest in, pour into generations into generations. Mm-hmm. But I think the other thing that's so critical Josiah and Micah is that I think generations reach generations. Yes. And I think that we need 20-year-olds and plus 10 years or minus a 10-year-old is going to have a voice with a 10-year-old, a 20-year-old with a 20-year-old, a 50. Now you have reach on both sides, but when I'm sitting with a friend who is a peer mm-hmm. and they're saying, here's things I'm wrestling with. Here's some ahas of who God is and how great he is. And man, there's a teachability, I think, that's heightened. And so,
yeah.
And ultimately my final answer is this, like success as a Christian is what Jesus said, go and make disciples.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I would say this, our culture tends to want to make duplicates. Jesus calls us to make disciples.
That's good. That's so good. Just like even the age gap that you were just talking about, it makes me think of Josiah's story. Like he was 5 when he accepted Christ at a Billy Graham crusade, who at the time was, I believe, about 75. 70-year difference in their age, but desiring Christ, both of them.
Yes. Yes.
Billy Graham saying, hey, if you want to accept Jesus, come on down. Josiah's like, Dad, I want to go. Let's go. Like just... even that alone, like just thinking of that visual, I obviously was not there, but I'm just like, what an opportunity that the church has to do the same with the people right. around them, when we should not be hesitating. We should be holding hands.
Come on.
And
I
we
love
should
that.
Really just like lean into each other in a sense of, this is something I feel like God downloaded to me. Like we are never too old to learn and we're never too young to teach. We have something to offer to each other, no matter if you're 13 or you're 100 years old, I guarantee that great, great grandma has something to offer that 13-year-old as well as the other way around. And I would just be curious.
Can I jump in and say one thing real quick,
yes,
Micah?
Please.
I got to meet Billy Graham one time, and this isn't a claim to fame for me. It's more about him. He was at a hotel. I went to pick up a friend. He said, hey, Billy's having breakfast. I'm like, Billy who? Right? I had no idea, right? Because he wasn't speaking in town. He was traveling through. He's like, Billy Graham. I'm like, Billy Graham, right? Legend, hero.
Yeah.
So I go in and I'm saying, Mr. Graham, I'm so sorry to interrupt your breakfast, but I said, what would you say to a 22-year-old pastor? We'll hook up here. He's like, preach John 3:16. Mm. And I think there's power in the gospel. And I think whenever we get away from that, we're in trouble. But when we stay tethered to that,
yes,
that's our true north. That's what we're pointing people to. So, man, 5 years old, look what God's doing with you now. I can't wait till you're 74.
Oh my gosh, are you kidding? It does fire me up. And one of the things you brought up earlier and then brought full circle is this idea of vision drift or mission drift.
Yeah.
And what Billy said to you as a young pastor to pass along to other young pastors, I just look at like this idea of preaching the gospel to ourselves daily to mm-hmm. never be far from the word mm-hmm. of God. And I read an interesting article about the GM Motors, General Motors car company, mm-hmm. that their original vision had 5 points. They saw 5 classes or demographics. So they had the Chevrolet, they had the Pontiac, they had the Oldsmobile, they had the Buick, and they had the Cadillac. And they were all at different price points for teenagers, 20 somethings, middle age, you know, grandparents and the wealthy.
Right.
But over time, I was reading and it was fascinating. All those employees are no longer with GM.
Right.
Probably the founders are even no longer living, but their mission drifted. And part of why a few of those sub companies didn't make it, mission drift. They began competing for the same customer. Wow. The Corvette made by Chevrolet should have never existed under the name Chevrolet. It would have fallen under Cadillac because only, but missions drift. Yes. And I think I was seriously going to ask you about mission drift. I have it written down because you talked about, like, I'm thinking of the settlers or an established church or a thriving ministry. Mm. If we can think like a church plant, let's reach our neighbors. Let's reach the lost. If we can think like also the gospel, what's it all about? Let's just zero in on this is our why, this is our mission. But I know, Micah, you were going to ask that question.
Well, I would just think even so, like when Billy Graham pointed you to John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that was his whole premise of why he did what he did. Like that was living on mission. And I think as pastors, I would say I can, and I would think anybody listening, we can all agree that at some point, or maybe some point, we will overcomplicate the gospel when in reality, God's saying like, go back to the basics. Yes. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, so that whoever shall, you know, like, and just unpacking just that alone, you're like, wow, that's a humbling thought all over again. And I think that's a realization as pastors, as leaders, we need to go back to our first love every day. It's not the love of the church alone. It is the love and relationship we have with Jesus Christ of what he did. And the church was birthed out of what he did. And the bride, you know, like, so I think there's this, just all these different elements and with elements that can become ailments in our leadership.
Yeah.
And I would just be curious, what have you been dreaming about or hoping for when it comes to like just the next generation at large?
Well, I said it earlier and I'll say it again. They don't have next, they have right now. And I think we do ourselves a disservice when we say, well, you have to, and I'm not against process and formation and even a bit of training. I'm for all that, right? But I think we miss the gift of young adults when we think we're going to utilize you once you get to ... Mm-hmm. And I think to ask the question, no, how can we leverage every generation, including young adults, to bring the gospel, to live out the gospel? It's, you know, we would say at New Hope all the time that we want you to see the gospel before you hear it. Mm-hmm. And it's not that you're not going to hear it, but I hope that you would have seen the gospel lived out in community, in relationship, so that when you hear, you're like, oh, I already trust what you're saying because you're living. Now, we're all broken, right? But we're also in process. But like, you just keep pointing me back to this good news of the gospel, the good news of Christ. And I think it's simple, but it's not simplistic.
Right.
If we can stay anchored in that, man, beautiful future.
Amen. Amen.
Seriously, a beautiful future.
I have so many other questions that could come.
Oh my gosh. Well, well, here's one that I'm excited to ask you. And it's, we love to ask people further along than us in the journey of leadership with different experiences. Like the people listening might be college students or young adults or even young leaders. Hmm. What would some of your best insight for a young leader to kind of, with the vision in mind, to finish well, what would your best insight be along those regards?
Man, that's an excellent question. So my first thought is like insecurity, which we all wrestle with. Mm-hmm. Insecurity always invites me to be someone I'm not.
Oh, yeah.
And so how do I find my identity and my security in Christ? It's not even in what I do. It's not even in what I look like. And so much of our culture, you know, we place value on what you look like or what you could do, but it's when we find our identity on whose we are, there's a contentment. And there's actually, people are drawn to contentment because they're like looking for it. Like, well, like this or this. And then they realize that never satisfies because it wasn't designed to. So finding our identity, and that you get that by being in the Word. You get that by finding people who speak life, not death, over you. Mm-hmm. So I think we got to be really wise with our friends and figure out, like we would say, well, who are the five loudest voices in your life? And do you need to mute any of them and add other voices, right? Mm-hmm.
That's great.
And I think one of the voices, honestly, is this right here. And I think it's, and I'm for technology and the platform and tools and all that, but man, let's not substitute that for the voice of godly people and encouragement and even correction at times to help help us develop. And then one other thought is there is power in your voice. I'm going to say to every young adult person listening or watching this, we need you. Your voice matters. Man, you have a divine design. And when you discover that and walk in that, there's beauty and there's kingdom impact. Communities are transformed. Marriages are strong. And man, it's just the church at its best. It's not what happens at church, but it's as the church. And we need these young adults to just operate in that grace and that confidence.
That's so good. Well, Jeffrey, we hope you are feeling confident because we've come to the part of the podcast where it's 5 in 5. Five rapid fire questions.
Right.
Answered in less than 5 minutes, and you're up for the challenge, I take it.
Bring it on.
All right. Question number one. What's something you are like doing right now that you consider a hobby that's outside of ministry that's fun?
Okay. Oh man. Okay. Less than five. So my wife and I walk our dog almost every day. And I know that sounds goofy, but it's actually so fulfilling because Joanne and I, we're holding hands, we're visiting, we're chatting. Our dog is a nut job. He's like just hilarious. His name is Oliver. And so that's like a little thing. And, you know, walk your dog. When did I ever think that would be something I would enjoy doing? I think because my travel schedule is so heavy, mm-hmm. I really enjoy those peaceful, quiet moments. Mm-hmm. And I try to foster those. So, and then one other one is we just love cooking for each other and creating things. And I'm learning a lot. There's so many things. You just Google it and you're like, I'm going to try it.
That's good. I love that.
That's inspiring to rattle the pots and pans a little bit. Okay.
Come on.
You've lived in some different states and settings. Do you have a team that's your team, sports team?
Sure. Okay. So I'm going to give you two because they're different places. My football team is the Seahawks.
Okay.
I don't know how confident I am about our season because we lost our quarterback. Okay. Yeah. That's a whole side note. I'm going to work through those emotions. I'm a Yankees fan and people are like, Yankees suck. I'm just like, well, you don't enjoy winning then. Okay. So 27 World Series championships. Now, I also didn't start liking them late in life. I started liking them when I was a little boy because I'd watch it with my dad. Mm-hmm. So Thurman Munson, Goose Gossage, Dave Winfield back in the day. And then I've got some connections with them now. So I would say Yankees and then Seahawks.
Oh, man. Well, then here's the curveball. Question number three. If you could ask Josiah and myself a question today, what would you ask us? It can be anything, ministry, non-ministry, whatever, anything that comes to mind.
Okay, so if there's one decision you could make all over again that you've made in the last month, what decision is that?
Oh, man, alive.
Like, I'm going to run it back. It was so good. We're doing it again. We're saying yes to that all over. On the other side of your yes, what's your next yes?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, we went public with becoming a 501c3 nonprofit within the last month. So we are officially youngadults.today, stepping out of our role with Chi Alpha, publicly announcing that and just having, I don't know, just the people around us spur us on and knowing that we're taking a leap of faith and we're stepping out of our comfort zone. We were on the diving board, I felt like, and we're yelling 1-2 over and over. And I think we're So God said jump and we jumped. And I say, I wouldn't take that back as of now. So I hope it keeps going. The legacy that we want to leave behind is
that's great.
Doing what we're going to be doing more of within the next year and beyond, hopefully.
Okay.
We're like Micah said, like less than a month in, we don't regret it. We don't think that any of our steps have been missteps. Yeah. We know that God's guided us and brought us and for such a time as this. But it's like we're in that launch phase of mission critical, like July, August, September.
Yeah.
You know, not unlike a church plant. It would just be we're trying to reach young adults with evangelism and then come along churches to start and strengthen young adult ministry. So
it's officially official.
Here we go.
So I'm officially extending an invitation for you to be on the CMN Leadership Podcast. We do that. And so my assistant, Kristen, who's awesome, will extend an invitation to you because we think what you're doing matters. And we're grateful that you guys are stepping out like that.
Oh man, that's amazing. Well, thank you so much. We look forward to connecting with her.
Seriously.
Woo. All right, question number four. I won't derail us.
This is back to you, and I think this might be one of the most enjoyable possibly for you to share. Might be hard because it's limited time, but if you could just take a trip down memory lane and share one miracle story from your season church planting, maybe it was a life that was transformed. Would you be willing to share one with us today?
Yeah, and I have about 50. So it's just figuring out which one I want to share. So I'll share a super abbreviated version of what I call, I have two Janets, and they're both like 70 plus old ladies in our church. I still say our, cause it's always ours, but you know, Rodney and Kate are leading the charge and we're cheering them on. But Janet, long story short, husband had died. She's lonely, doesn't know Jesus. She's mad at God, but doesn't believe in him. That's her quote. Okay. I'm mad at God, but I don't even believe in him. Right. So it wasn't like she just like, I don't even know. Right. So Jill, one of the gals who was on our team was, worked at the YMCA down the road in Puyallup, and she noticed Janet. Janet would get on the treadmill and she would put the treadmill on one, right? Which is just slightly lower than my speed, which is like three, right? But she would get on it and she wasn't going to die jogging. Okay. I'm just telling you, she's not like a super fit person or a fitness fanatic. She was lonely, and Jill noticed her, invited her to a small group. She said no, better small group, no, long story. She joined the small group. She finally came to church. This is when we met at the movie theater, and she said yes to Jesus. She comes in the lobby, and she's like this. She's like, well, Pastor Jeffrey, it finally happened. And I'm like, what did I say, right? And she said, I finally gave my life to Christ. And I told her, your face hasn't found out yet, right? Because she's so angry, right?
It's like you got the joy of the Lord, but you got to notify your face.
That's right. The 11 inches hasn't connected yet.
But Janet is a regular reminder for me of the why behind the what of church planting. And I think every story that's a miracle, and I can tell you money and buildings and all this stuff, but it's about people.
Yes. That's so good. Bless Janet, Lord. All right. Question number five, if you could leave the listener today with one thing and we handed you the mic, what one thing would you want them to know today?
Okay. Well, this isn't a promotion, but it's an invitation. I'm writing a book. It's going to be coming out in a few months, but it's called Delayed Destiny. Here's the one line I'll leave you with. Slow motion is still motion. Sometimes what we want to have happen fast takes time. Slow motion, even if it's incremental, God often grows us just step by step. And you and all of us have a delayed destiny, but we got to keep going that direction.
That is so good. Well, that leaves me wanting more.
I'm excited for the launch of your book. We can't wait to order it, to share it with the listeners. And yes. We'll try to schedule this episode on book launch day.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Where can people find it? And any other thoughts on delayed destiny?
Yeah, well, it hasn't even been published yet. My wife and I finalized the book cover that we like today. So it will come out this September.
Okay.
And pretty fired up about it. It's been like, you know, I told someone, they asked, how long have you been working on it? I'm saying, I'm like 2 years. They said, really, you've been working on it your whole life. Because it's a story of what God's done. And I won't take time on it. But yeah, it rolls out in sometime this fall. And the overarching premise is slow motion is still motion. And God's working, even though sometimes we can't see it.
Yes.
Not just because of the song, but true. And the key character is Joseph. And you just look at some of the principles of his life, of lessons he learned, and really the goodness of God throughout all of it.
That is so good.
It's amazing. And I'm picturing the listener might be listening in a dorm room. Or you can think back a few years to a dream that God's given you.
Yes.
And you feel like it seems impossible. Mm. You feel like it seems so far-fetched. But that's what God calls us to, and he never leaves our side. Mm-hmm. And so I'm excited for you to, we trust Jeffrey's voice. We are inspired by you today. And we just encourage you to pick up a copy of Delayed Destiny wherever books are sold. And Jeffrey, we just want to say thanks for taking time, investing in Micah and I, and in this community of young leaders.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys, and keep up the great work.
That's amazing. Thank you so much. Once again, this is Micah and Josiah signing off.
Thanks for listening to today's conversation on the Young Adults Today podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, go ahead and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Right now, yeah.